Hi, I'm Marcy Fox.
And I'm Jana Griffin.
And this is the All Connected Podcast.
A small town pastor with big ideas.
And a rising real estate agent who puts dreams into actions. Coming together to change the world one episode at a time. Everyone, it's Marcy. Welcome back to the All Connected Podcast. We just spent how many hours setting this up today?
Oh, it's been terrible. It's been almost 2 hours, I feel like. No, not really. But over an hour trying to get the technology to work the way that it's supposed to.
Right. So we have all this time that we've put into planning a podcast, and then we get down to recording days, and we're still trying to figure out how to do a podcast. So not everything goes perfect, but that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we jump into the topic, though, I feel like I've got to address something.
Oh, no.
Our intro. Is that the most dramatic thing ever? Changing the world one episode at a time?
I know. And every time I keep looking at it, too, I'm like, oh, it's too much. It's too much. But now I kind of don't want to change it.
Right. I guess I think about it from people who don't know us well. If they're taking us seriously, like, what are these people thinking?
They're out to change the world. They are not messing around.
This episode.
Which we're not.
This episode is going to change the world.
It is. I love that you just called us out in that. That's hilarious. That came from me, though. I mean, I know that I wrote that.
Right.
And when we said it, and maybe that's the the difference in our personalities is because I'm like, I mean, we're both dreamers, but I'm like the big dreamer of like, Tanner, let's do it right now. Let's do all these big things. And you're like, whoa, hold up, Marcy. Like, let's take steps 1, 2, and 3 first before we get to 4.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a methodical person when it comes to plans.
So this is just me motivating you.
Is that what this is?
Yes, it's me motivating you to just jump right in and change the world.
Yeah, this episode is going to change the world.
It's world changing.
Okay. No pressure.
No pressure.
It's going to be that good.
So let's just add it to the list of the things that we're going to do, because that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right.
Is our purpose and having a lot of different paths. And I'm super excited about this because this is a topic that we have had so many times in discussions. And I know that I'm the type of person that I want to do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So I know that I can't settle down and just do one thing. It's just not my personality. Mm-hmm. And I've struggled with that because I feel like we are called to do a thing. What are we going to be when we grow up?
Right.
So and one thing.
From very early age, you're conditioned to think about your future in terms of finding one thing that you want to do and then the path to how you're going to do that. Today we're going to talk about what you do versus what you're passionate about and where you find meaning in life. So I'm excited. I think this could be a good conversation that, I don't know, maybe it changes the world.
Maybe it does. I hope we can help people figure out either the one thing they want to do or the multiple things they want to do if they're anything like me.
Right.
And I think that you're right. I think that we are given this perception that we do have to be called to do one thing or that we have to pick one thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something for me. I know that I've just gotten used to doing multiple things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm now starting to identify what is the thing that I actually feel like I'm called to do. And there's a difference in that.
Yeah.
There's a difference, I think, between a calling, a purpose, a mission, and a job.
Yeah.
Right? And mine don't line up. I know I'm doing both of those. But maybe we should talk about the truth that you
found
for today.
So if you're joining us the first time, or if you just haven't listened to us in a while and forgot, we will introduce kind of our anchor point truth. For us this week, it's going to be more of a launching off point. I feel like this will just kind of be the starting line for our conversation. And this week, it's a scripture again from the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom in the Bible and kind of teaches us about life and how to make wise choices and what it means to be a wise person. So Proverbs chapter 16 verses 1-4, and it just says, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All persons' ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. the Lord works out everything to its proper end.
So what's your takeaway from that? Like, what did you think when you first saw that verse or
searching? I mean, the reason I wanted to connect that with this topic today, though, is the idea of our motives being before the Lord, or that God is looking into our motives. Because it feels like so many things we do with our lives is about the specific actions of what things look to be. And so I think for me, when it talks about your motives are weighed by the Lord, commit whatever you do, and God will establish your plans. It shifts it from being, I want to be a teacher when I grow up, to I want to teach others because I want them to have somebody that is a role model, or I want them to have somebody that invests in them, or whatever. And so it feels like a subtle change, but I think it's a significant one, because you can teach others whether you have an education degree, or you can teach others if you're working in an office setting, or if you're working outside in a construction field. Like, you can be somebody who invests in other people. And so that's where, for this, why the scripture connected with me for this topic, because I think you and I both have this idea of all the different things we can do.
Yes.
But if you peel back the layers, there's a purpose behind it that kind of unifies them all. Like, if you look at what you're trying, like what your calendar looks like on a weekly basis, I mean, I've made this comment, it's like you're running 15 different directions, mm-hmm. but underneath it, it makes sense to you because you have...
Oh, I have a list. Do you want to hear the list?
Go for it.
I have a list of things that I want to do.
Okay.
And my problem is that I get to the point, I'm like, how do I do them all? I want to be everything.
Right.
All right. So, real estate agent, mm-hmm. check. I'm already a real estate agent.
Okay.
Mentor. You can apply that, however.
Right.
Social media influencer. I want to run a nonprofit. I want to be an interior designer, which I did start going to school for, by the way. A public speaker. Does this count?
I mean, speaking that goes to
in
the public.
Okay, we're good. Author and writer. I'm going to write a book one day. I've been saying that for a couple of years now. A blogger. I want to be just like Joanna Gaines, a.k.a. I want to flip houses.
Okay.
Because it ties in, of course, being a real estate broker.
Right.
A marketing and creative consultant, which I am already. I want to do life coaching. I want to be a life coach, too, somewhere in the middle of that, with ministry and a podcaster, which we are doing now, changing the world.
Right.
So, how about that? How about all those things?
So, doesn't it feel like those are a lot of random, disconnected things? Or if you talk to people and you
right.
share that list,
right.
people are like, why would you want to do all those things? Like, people would be content to pick one and maybe a hobby, right? Like, what is it that for you says?
See, and the thing is that, okay, so now we're going to get cheesy and we're going to talk about the podcast name because it's all connected, right?
Okay,
So several of these things between like real estate agent and interior designer and Joanna Gaines, those all tie together. Those tie into my job as a real estate broker. And so when I actually first moved back to Winnemac, I was trying to figure out, I was like, do I want to do interior design? Or do I want to be in real estate?
Hmm.
Which one do I pick?
Right.
I want to do them both. And I ended up getting my real estate license, but then was like, you know, it's an added service to people. If they need design or decorating, staging, that right. all goes together. So those will go hand in hand. We'll see how it plays out. And honestly, the real estate, I really enjoy being a real estate broker. There's a difference between, I think, being passionate about things, though, and having a career. And so mm-hmm. I love working with people. That's why it ties in. I love looking at houses. I love design. Wanted to go to school for it. So it's all things that I love to do,
mm-hmm.
And it makes my job enjoyable. But then there's the other side of things to where I feel really passionate about things. And I think at the core, that's really helping people, that's inspiring people, that's leading people, that's where the mentorship comes in, and writing a book to help inspire people, and blogging, mm-hmm. and speaking. And so all those other things on my list, life coaching and ministry, I think all those really tie in. And so to me, I see it as all those pieces connecting, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And so it might be a big list,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's kind of this overlying, for me anyway, this purpose of, I want to do these things to help people. I want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Yeah. I want to make a positive difference to people. I want to change the world.
Right.
I'm going to do that the entire episode. I can't help it. And so I do, though. I want to make a difference. And so each of those other items on my list are kind of checking off boxes per se, but not because I feel the need to, but because I think there's different ways to reach people. So there's ways to get in front of people and speak, and there's ways to do this podcast that people can listen to and people can read, and, you know, I can sit down one-on-one with people. And so to me, I don't know, maybe the list seems big, but to me it is all connected.
Yeah. So a couple things as I was listening to you, and I was listening, but I realized that
he's thinking of his next thought.
Well, so there's a couple different things. This is the overthinker in me. I realized that you introduced yourself. I didn't introduce myself.
No, this is just some random person on the podcast today.
Right, so I realized that that hadn't happened, which I don't know what made me think of that. But
who are you?
Steve? No. No. So, I'm Tanner. I'm still... She hasn't kicked me out of the band yet. So
still here.
They haven't replaced me as a co-host yet. Although after this episode, we'll see. But the real thing I was thinking, though, is when people say, what do you want to do, we automatically think of, like, the specific description. And I wonder what happens if we reframe the what into, instead of saying, what do you want to do with your life, that becomes, the answer to that becomes our mission and purpose. And the how are you going to do it becomes the activities, right? So you want to make a difference. You want to have an impact. So, for example, you want to have an impact on Winnemac, in this community that your hometown, your hometown community. How do you do that, right? So that's where the Warrior Speaker Series comes in. Lately you've had the opportunity to talk to some students, right? So what happens if we change the what, the answer to that question, to mission and purpose, which is what we're talking about, and the how becomes the thing that most people say. What do you want to do when you grow up? I want to influence my hometown. I want to go and, okay, how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to do a podcast. We're going to, and so basically what I think what we're trying to, at least what I wanted to get after in this episode, is that you can actually have a lot of different hows. All the different things like your list. I know you're not the only one. I've wrestled with that myself. It may not be quite as extensive.
But don't be judging my list.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying mine's more focused, maybe. No, that sounds critical. It's not that your list is awful. There's less things on my list. But, I was if I hadn't felt a call to ministry, I have no idea what I would be doing. Mm-hmm. Because... in high school, it was, I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to be a teacher. I was going to be, I was going to go into politics. Whatever caught my eye at the moment, but like that really kind of got added to my list.
I think that's stressful. And you just mentioned, me going into the high school and talking about talking to students. So I did. I spent a whole day in one of our high school classrooms talking to kids, just kind of about the challenges of what are the biggest challenges that teens are facing right now. And one of the things that had came up was pressure. And it was pressure to make, pressure from adults and pressure from teachers and pressure to make decisions like that, right? So they're at that point of, what do I want to do with my life? Mm-hmm. What am I going to be when I grow up? And I feel like it's very specific of, okay, you're picking out a college, you look at their degree list and you pick one. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it comes down to. I know for me, I was social work, I was psychology, I was going to be a pediatrician. You're not surprised, I know. if only they could see us sometimes and see these faces. Yeah, the look on his face. He's like, here we go.
Imagine your academic advisor would be like, oh, Marcy's back this week. Like, what's the major? I could just imagine.
This week.
You wore out that door.
I'm going to change the world by being a doctor.
Right.
So pediatrician. And then I was like, I want to be a child life specialist. And Finally, I landed on business because I was like, okay, well, and interior design. Mm-hmm. I went to school for interior design, got accepted into the program, and then decided, I can decorate. Like,
right. I don't
want to carry around. Actually, the big part of it is I don't want to carry around the portfolio.
Oh, yeah, it was a very practical decision.
It was. I was like, but I can decorate. So I went with business because to me, any of those careers that I had picked, the underlying foundation was business. Mm-hmm. You had to have, to me, as long as I had the business foundation skills, mm-hmm. I could be an interior designer. I could run a restaurant. I could be a doctor, you know, but that was important to me. It was a boring, I mean, sometimes, I don't know, if I went back to someone and said, well, you know, I think I even said it to the high school students, pick something you're going to enjoy, the classes, because mm-hmm. it is a little bit of a struggle to go through 4 years of college and not really care about accounting and operations and widgets and different things that we're going to talk about in class. But anyway, but it is hard, I think, because we are pressured to make that choice of what do we want to do? But I think you make a really good point of what if we change that? Mm. I want to impact, inspire, and motivate, and I want to make a difference. Mm. How do I do that?
Yeah.
There might be multiple ways to do that. It doesn't have to be just one thing.
Yeah, and what it means is you don't have to, I mean, I think there's certain career fields that are labeled as like the ones that make a difference, and then everything else is just kind of where you go to make money. But if you have this mentality of going into it where you can bring that purpose and mission into wherever, you know, whatever your gift is, right? I mean, there are people whose gifting and calling is accounting and looking at financial records. Like, that would kill me if that was my regular job. But there's people that go and do that, and in that job, they can make a difference with their clients or with their coworkers or with the community that they're supporting. And so you can find a way to exercise, you know, your calling through whatever field. Right. And so I think it's reassuring that you can find that you don't have to uproot everything, right? Like you don't have to say I can't be what I feel passionate about being, or I can't feel what I feel God's calling me to be in this particular field. And so I think that's one of the ways that this framing the question the way that it's been framed to us is it's find the one thing, and if you're not feeling able to fully exercise, or like you're not able to use that thing that you're passionate about where you're currently at, then you've obviously chosen the wrong thing and you have to start over.
Or what if you don't even know what your thing is? Like that puts added pressure on us of like, well, they know what their thing is. He's a pastor, you know, and he knew he wanted to do that. I still don't really know what I want to be when I grow up. I don't know. I'm 33. Do we have to know by now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's some people that, you know, you talk about me being a pastor. There's some people that they feel called ministry. They go to school and then they go to a pastor. Like, even though I had that sense of calling, I found myself not working in a church for quite a while. And I was working in warehouse and distribution and logistics and transportation and inventory management and all that type of stuff. And I did okay in that environment. I really enjoyed the parts where I could invest in people and mentor others. And when things were difficult, I was able to kind of talk to people one-on-one and have lunches. And basically, I was the pastor of the distribution facilities. I guess that's where that's kind of carrying in that attitude. But there still was this moment where it was like, I still don't feel like I'm fully able to live out. And that's why there came that moment where I was like, we're done with the warehouse because I don't feel like in this environment.
You feel fulfilled.
Right.
Fulfilled. Today we're starting a new language.
Right. So there's that. But I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, I was thinking this the other day about some of the relationships that I built in my time in the different, you know, distribution field, you know, that I was in, and some of those environments, like I kind of miss some of the, of that environment. Not some of the crazy hours and not some of all that stuff, but there was certain things. And I was pretty good at some of that stuff. And so it was, I don't know, like, I don't know if I'd want to go back and do it again full time, but like, there's part of me that like wants to go visit some friends at the
local. I do too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that. How I miss corporate going? A little bit.
Yeah. And so if we come at it from this mentality of there's only one thing that I can do with my life. There's only one, and it has to look a particular way. I think we limit ourselves. But at the same time, Mike, I think this is where, I mean, originally thought the conversation was going to go more along the lines is I think people have more than one interest. I think,
absolutely.
You ask, you know, you're 33, are you supposed to know what you want to be when you grow up? Like, I think it's something people change careers 7 times by the time they're 40, 30.
I don't know the statistics.
And I'm just pulling that out of nowhere at this point, but like there's something like that. Like people are, our generation change careers.
Oh yeah. It's definitely changed
7 too. Times over the course of their,
right.
Their,
I mean, it used to be that somebody was in, you know, the same job for 50 years or whatever. It's definitely not that way anymore. But I think it does change, but as you're talking, I'm thinking, had we not had the experience in the other jobs, like, I think that helped with your current position. So I think you learn things. Like, I miss corporate too. Mm-hmm. I do. I miss the environment. I miss having a crew, and just the people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like I took away a lot from that. And I know that that's not where I wanted to be forever, but I definitely gained valuable experience through that that has helped shape me today towards I'm doing.
I think that connects back to what we were saying with the what do you want to do and how do you want to do it. If you look at your time at corporate as the how of how you know, like, I feel called to guide others, lead others, support them, encourage, that type of stuff. If that's your mission, you know, then how am I going to do that? Oh, I'm going to do it in a corporate office setting.
Right.
And you can change your how without it disrupting your mission, right? Like, so, I mean, if you look at your life a couple years ago and where you are now, on the surface, it would look completely different. But I think at the core, what you're saying though, is you could still exercise and fine tune that mission and find purpose, even though it's like completely different.
And it was. And I think that's kind of what, I mean, I think there's people that either love management or they don't, right? So there's some people that are like, yep, I was a manager, don't want to be a manager anymore, I have no interest in it, I stepped down from it, don't want to deal with people. And to me, I think that's where I figured out, like, leading people was kind of a passion for me. And it was very hard being a manager, but at the same time, my favorite thing to do was to take my crew and to see change within my crew, to see change within my market. And, you know, if somebody needed an improvement in their job role, I felt led to, it's my job to help them improve, you know. And, you know, yes, there's things with discipline and, you know, documentation, all that, but I was more concerned about trying to improve them and help them out rather than just being a manager. Like, that's not where it was. And so, but what that did for me is it, as I was leaving my markets and my crews, they realized the impact that it had on them. Like, you know, you're one of the managers that, you know, has really given us some positive change, or you've done, you know, more change since you've been here than we, you know, have in the past 30 years. And so there was a passion in that of realizing how I could help other people grow. I guess maybe I'm a big fan of personal development. And so to me, I looked at it and I would always tell my employees and say, it is not my job to be your manager. Like, my job is, it's my job to be the manager, but it's not, they don't work for me. I work for them because it's my job to make sure they have the tools and the resources they need to do their job well. Because if they're not doing well, I'm not doing well either. But, I think that mindset kind of changed things, but also the leadership skills that I learned and then plus the marketing and everything else that came along with being a general manager is really kind of what helped shape this new path and said, these are the things I'm passionate about. It just might look a little bit different to lead people. I'm gonna lead people in a different way.
And so I talk with people a lot, as pastors that are wondering, like, what is, I mean, that's really the thing that creates anxiety, is I feel God calling me to something and I just don't know what that one thing is. I think what we're getting at, in this conversation though, is that, it's less about the actual activities and it's more about creating opportunities for us to live out the thing that we feel called to do. You were saying before, talking about passion and mission and calling and that type of stuff. And so, like, the word that was for me is vocation. Like, mm-hmm. Oftentimes we talk about vocations as, what is your job? But right. It literally means calling. I mean, that's the definition of the word kind of behind it. And so it's the sense of, what do I feel called to do? What do I feel gifted to do? What am I passionate about? That's part of why we're doing this podcast, right? Like, the two sides of that we're trying to talk about here is, you know, how do you get free from the stuff that's holding you back? Mm-hmm. And then how do you use that freedom to live out what you feel called to do? We're kind of starting this conversation from part two, right? Like, mm-hmm. But it kind of works backwards towards that first part. Like, the idea that we have to have just one thing and you have to know what it is and it has to check all your boxes for you, is something that can actually hold you back from taking that step. Right. Like, there's conversation I'm having with people right now that won't take any step because they're afraid that there's a very narrow prescribed path that they're supposed to be on. And if I take one step in the wrong direction, even if it's something I'm interested in, it might lead me away from what I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be doing. And I think if we can get to the point where we can understand that there's freedom to exercise our abilities and gifts in our passion and get away from the activity or the label that we put on it and really get back to the motive behind it. Like, why do you want to do this thing? Mm-hmm. Is that in line with what you feel called to do? Like, really, if we can get back to that. There's times on my journey where I felt like, I'd pray and I would be seeking for what my next step was because I didn't feel like it was laid out very clearly for me. And I was just struggling to see what the next step was. And there's times where I felt like God said, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. And that was really a weird place to be in, because especially feeling called to ministry, like you feel like God has this very specific, you know, you're going to do this and then you're going to do that. And this was whatever you feel like is going to, either one of these choices are fine, right? And there was, at first it was uncomfortable, but then there was this freedom in it that, yeah, I can be faithful to what I've been called to be and created to be by doing this thing, or I can be faithful to what I've been called to be and created to be by doing this other thing, because it's the motive and my faithfulness to the calling behind right. it, and not
what the thing is,
not the thing itself. That is the how.
And I think sometimes too, it sounds so cliche, but sometimes we don't know until we try, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I think you, there's an underlying purpose for your life. But like you said, it might look in different ways. And so you might think it's through this career or, and maybe you don't like it. So mm-hmm. you find another way to do that thing, mm-hmm. you know, to help people, let's say. And it might not be through this job, but you can help people another way through this one. One of the things, too, I'm thinking about as we're having this discussion, though, is let me ask the hard question, because I know this is something I struggle with, is money. So we talked about money, and we talked about, and fun fact, by the way, that I was going to be an accountant as well. So I was a business major degree, and I minored in finance and almost double majored in accounting. And I literally had probably one class to take is all I needed. And I was so done my senior year that I didn't do it, which is horrible. But I was like, well, I already know that I don't want to sit behind a desk and crunch numbers all day. Why do I need this?
Right.
It just kind of went hand in hand. But anyway, fun fact for you. Yeah. Add something else to the list. I also wanted to be a singer when I grew up. So, hey, not going to sing today, though. But anyway, so money. So I know, and I remember doing this in high school when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. I would pull up, there was a website out there that you could pull up and see how much money every job was. Right. And I was literally doing it based on money at first. I was like, well, I want to make good money.
Right.
Funny now, because I'm not in my job for the money. There's certainly potential to make a lot. But I walked out of a corporate job that I made six figures in corporate. I did very well. And people might think that I'm pretty crazy for walking away. And, you know, I'm a single mom. Things are not easy. Finances are not a big gift for me.
No.
But it's really important for me to still focus on the things that I feel called to do and that I find purpose in, because that's like, that's what energizes me. That's what motivates me.
Right.
Those aren't necessarily the things that are paying me.
Right.
And so I think we should talk about that a little bit because it is, I know for me, it's a struggle. Like, it's a hard balance. And sometimes I'm like, all right, I just need to go back to the 8-to-5 corporate job, make a good paycheck. And then I'm like, yeah, but then I lose touch with like what really drives me as a person.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I became a pastor for the money.
Yeah, I bet you did. Just the way teachers, I'm sure.
Right.
Teachers.
No, I mean,
law enforcement, everyone else.
I think it's an interesting, I mean, you're talking money, but it's interesting kind of phenomenon in the last few years, the whole idea of the side hustle, too. Like, people are finding more ways to connect. I mean, I think those things just probably start as hobbies that people have found ways to, or an outlet for their, what they're passionate about. But yeah, I mean, It's a fine balance sometimes. I mean, I have the same thought. I mean, I made decent money as a logistics manager, and there was sacrifices that were made when I said, you know, I'm going to go finish my master's degree or go work in ministry full time. And it wasn't just me. I mean, you talk about being a single mom. Like, this decisions affected my family when you know, we sold our family home and moved into more affordable housing and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, for some people, it's interesting. For some people, like, having that stable paycheck, it is their highest value. And I don't want to sound like we're critiquing that, because, like, I know.
Yeah, I'm sure their lives are a lot less stressful than those of us that don't have a consistent paycheck.
Right. Well, if they see their mission as, I mean, I know people that they really don't care what the job is.
I'm just going to do their work. And
right. My purpose, my mission is to bring home and provide for my family so that my kids and you know, have a stable environment and there's no stress there and I can give them the opportunity. And they don't care what it is. I mean, I know people that'll do whatever.
I'm just working.
Yeah. It's just a job.
Yeah.
And in some ways I'm envious of that, because I can't.
I can't either. I wish,
like,
I could.
Right? Like, I don't know. Like, there's just a sense of job satisfaction is big to me. So the meaning and purpose behind it.
I think everyone's personality is different too. Yeah. And I'm envious of it too, because you see how many different directions I do go, and I probably stress myself out more than is necessary trying to figure out how to do it all. But again, I get so energized and motivated when I do those things, and I get excited. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what I love, you know. And trust me, I love, you know, selling a house too. I get excited when we get an accepted offer and you know, closing day.
Right.
Tomorrow we're gonna, you know, give keys to somebody. But you know, it's just different. And I'm not that type of person. I can't just go and work and that's what I'm doing. But and I think it's fantastic when people can. And maybe they do too. I don't know. That would be interesting to talk to somebody with that mindset. But I know you and I are more similar in the fact that we're not. We're always searching for more and above. And I don't know. But I think that all goes back to, we feel that calling to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that stops.
No. Which is, I mean, it's a good thing that this podcast pays well.
Right.
So we do all these.
I keep adding more projects to my plate that don't pay.
That don't pay. Yeah,
that's my problem.
I mean, you're listing off the things on your list. My list is different, but it overlaps. Like, I've got a blog that I've been neglecting for 6 months. I've got notes on a book that I want to put together. That the more I think about it, like, the more anxious I am, because I feel like the world needs it. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to change the world.
Right. With my book. No, I love reading and I love, kind of the church. And so I just realized there's a very specific gap in what I've read, and maybe I just haven't run across the right books or stuff, but there's just something that I'm very passionate about that I have yet to see somebody write a book that specifically addresses it. And I just, like, I feel very much called to do that. And it's like,
so do it.
Well, I have my notes, but it's just, you know, juggling all the other stuff, right?
Time.
Right. I mean, and so, but again, it goes back to, like, my motive. Like, even when I was explaining that, like, I don't want to be an author. Like, that's, I mean, I do want to be an author. I want to publish. But it wasn't like one day I woke up and said, you know, what would look good on my resume is to be an author. But rather, I feel that there's a message or a mission or a purpose behind it, and the outlet. Like, I mean, people give me a hard time when I say that I'm an introvert and really don't like public speaking, and yet I'm a pastor. They're like, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's like the public speaking part of being a pastor has come out of my pastoral care for others. Like, I don't preach because I feel like people need to know, because I feel like I have an important thing to say, and or I want to talk to
it's people. All about Tanner.
Right, right. It's definitely not like that is drawn out of me. Like, the sermons are drawn out of me because I'm stand in front of a group of people that I feel like I'm responsible to care for. It comes from a sense of care and not a sense of, well, I want to say lots of words. I never felt called to be a public speaker. I felt called to care for people. And one of the ways to care for people is to help them see what God has to say to them. And so it's, again, it goes, I'm less concerned about the how, because if God shows up, you know, next week and says, hey, you're done preaching, but I want you to go, do something else. If there's that same ability to carry out that mission, then that could be just as satisfying, I think.
Right.
I mean, I enjoy preaching. There's a part of me that would love to go back and work at a university, you know, adjunct professor or something, but that requires a little bit more schooling, I think. And, but yeah, like, I don't know that this is the only how that I go about it.
I think people help guide us in that too.
I agree.
I mean, I certainly never had the thought of, oh, I want to be an author one day. I want to write a book. And that really came out of through conversations with people, as I'm going to go back to storytelling, but through sharing my story and or speaking and people saying, like, you or writing and people saying, you write very well. Mm. I love the way that you write. Would you write something for me? I just don't know how you do that. And so, or the same with speaking, though. I mean, just recently had someone tell me I should be a broadcaster. You know, she was like, you're public speaking. You speak very well. And so some of that was through people helping me recognize my strengths and the ways that I was impacting people and how I could do more with that. So that was kind of, I guess, maybe my start of this journey is saying, okay, I see the difference I'm making through these conversations one-on-one with people. What can I do with that? There's got to be something more to do.
Right.
And so, and it still didn't, it didn't come down to a specific job and a label. It was, how can I continue to do these things? And for me, it's just through different mediums, but.
Yeah. I know I took that, you asked me about money and I took it in a completely different direction. Did we address that at all?
I talked about my struggles. I don't know where you were going with it.
I don't know.
Pastors make a lot of money.
Some do.
I think is what I heard you say.
Not this one.
I was just talking about, like, how do we balance that? And I guess my point to it all was I recognize that sometimes your job and your passion might look different.
Gotcha.
And for me, my passion does not pay me, at least not yet. Hopefully one day it will. That's the goal. But it is hard to find that balance. And I just didn't want to discredit the fact that, hello, I need to bring a paycheck home and right. make some money. Because I'm definitely not saying go run after your dreams and forget about your financial responsibilities. Right. So I just want to recognize that they can look a little bit different. And I know personally it is a struggle for me because, you know, the money I make and it's inconsistent. And, you know, the things like this podcast that I'm spending time on, but that don't, you know, bring in money. I'm not getting paid to do this, but I'm doing it because I love talking like this.
Yeah.
Love talking. That sounded weird.
I like to talk.
I like to talk. So
here we are, 39 minutes in, and we have an honest moment with Marcy. I just like to talk.
We're learning new things every day.
I mean, we probably need to wrap up because we've been
talking 40 minutes. Lot.
But, you know, I think what I would want to kind of leave people with is this isn't something that is going to happen instantaneously, and it's not an all or nothing type of thing, right? So, like, I mean, you were just saying, like, you can find things in your real estate work that allows you to exercise some of your passion. It's not completely fulfilling and you're kind of doing other stuff, but like it's not an all or nothing type of mentality. Right. It's not like, oh, because you are doing real estate, it means you had to give up on your dreams and the things that you're passionate about. And life, when we've said this by the last couple episodes, but life is a little bit messier than what we think. And it doesn't fit nice and neat in the categories, and you're probably not going to find the one thing that checks all your boxes for you.
Kind of like house shopping.
So you know what I mean? Like so I think it's not helpful when we limit ourselves to say, what is the one thing that I'm going to do the rest of my life that fulfills me, that makes me happy, that provides everything for me? It might be multiple things, but what we're really trying to get to is the motives behind it. What is it that we've committed ourselves to? I mean, that's why I picked this scripture. You know, the last part, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Like, whatever that looks like, whether it's just a job that gets you a paycheck, whether it's something that you find yourself doing because, I don't know, you didn't intend to end up there, but you've ended up there, or it's, you know, hobbies or things you do on the side that you're passionate about, whatever that is, like, try to ask the second question, like, why, what is it in here that I can exercise my passions about? What is it that this reveals about myself? What is the thing that I like to do here? And what does that tell me? Because ultimately, I think that's what this episode needs to be about. I mean, our goal for the podcast is to help people live out their purpose and mission, right? So I think that would be the challenge that I would say is, don't be afraid to ask those questions. Like, if you're in a job that you're not fully satisfied with, ask about the things that you enjoy about it. That's going to reveal something to you about what it is that you're passionate about. Ask the things that you don't like about it and figure out why don't you like that, right?
Right.
And that will help shape. And you're never going to find just that one thing that's going to fall in your lap that makes, this...
aha moment.
Right. I mean, even like I feel very much called to be a pastor, and there are things about being a pastor that I would say I prefer not to have to do. You know what I mean? Like, there's church finances and administration and weird stuff that happens kind of behind the scenes that, like, I didn't go to school to do those things. I didn't go into ministry to do those things. And so you're never going to have that one thing that checks all your boxes and does everything the way you want it to do.
Well, I think it's important for us to realize that, like, we need to embrace that journey too.
Right.
You know, it's all connected. And I laugh about it, but I mean, that really is how we built the foundation of this podcast, is because, well, that's what we keep finding is, like, in this, every journey that we've been on, every career path that we've had is still the very first thing that I did is still somehow connected to today.
Yeah.
And it's just recognizing that and embracing it. And I think you do learn, and it kind of ties into, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses of what are you good at and what aren't you good at? And, you know, what do you like to do? What don't you like to do?
Yeah.
And using that to guide you rather than feeling pressured to just find that one thing.
Yep. It's good.
It's good stuff.
Good.
Yeah. I like this topic. So, but, probably should be wrapping it up. I mean, we're like 44 minutes in.
We like to talk.
We like to talk. I got really nervous there for a minute because you said, well, that's really what this episode's all about. And I was like, oh no, he's starting the episode over.
We're starting over. No, that was the introduction.
That's what it definitely sounded like.
Yeah, that's the old pastor thing. One more thing before I conclude, and then you talk about three more things.
You do that. I didn't notice. But anyway. But hey, we'd love your guys' feedback. And what do you feel called to do? Maybe give us some feedback on that of, is there one thing or are there multiple things? And what did that journey look like? I'd love to hear some stories on that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear people talk about their what they feel called to do and then the how they're doing it. Like that distinction. Like, let's get away from the idea that what I do is my job title. Mm-hmm. But what is it that your mission or purpose or meaning in life is? And then the hows you do it. Like, I'd really like to hear some interesting ones. Like, I feel called to make a difference, and I do it by, I don't know, digging ditches and see how people...
For a moment, I feel like we're on a radio station, and I'm, like, waiting for people to call in.
Right? Call.
Can you call in right now?
Caller, too. So we'll have a post with this episode. Come join us in the comments and let's just chat about what it means to be a person who is on mission, right?
Yeah, right. One purpose, many paths.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We'll see you guys again soon here on the All Connected Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Later.